Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to have my guest, Saram Singh. And today we're discussing her book, Your Journey to Enlightenment, 12 Guiding Principles to Connect with Love, Courage, and Commitment in the New Dawn. Welcome, Saram. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm so excited to be here and to have the discussion, so thank you.
So on your biography here, I see that you are the publisher of 1111 magazine, author of Connections with the Universe, and creator of a one-woman show tour entitled The Rebel Road. And you also do 1111 talk radio show. Is that right?
That's correct. I began creating different forms of conscious media as a means to, number one, move out of a lot of discomfort and distortion that was in my own life for the ability to heal and rediscover my own wholeness, and to share many voices that are across the world that are doing amazing work and having their own wisdom and insight. And so these vehicles of 1111 magazine and 1111 talk radio were, in a sense, given to me to steward and to spread various works that are around while supporting others at the same time. And through this course of creating and sharing and diving into my own passion, it has rippled out to help so many more. And that is such a key message for people to understand, is that when we truly do dive into something that serves ourselves, our heart, our soul, our mind, our spirit, it actually only then can ripple and serve other people, because we have come from it, come to it in the purest form from a place where we really need it. And since that time, discovering how there are so many ways that the universe was speaking to me, because these 11s and 1111s would keep popping up in my life, and every time they would, I would notice what I was thinking and what I was feeling, and it was always asking me, again, to follow my heart and go in a certain direction. And when I listened, the communications would continue, and that led to my book, Conversations with the Universe, that talks about all of the signs, symbols, and synchronicities, and how to develop that trust in life that so many of us really don't have. And then last, this January, my newest book, Your Journey to Enlightenment, launched, and that really stems around courage and stepping fully into the courage of who we are by having the love and the commitment and really realizing that we are here as divine children on the playground of Earth, the playground of life, not in the terms of the school that we have been taught it was, where there are obstacles and lessons and challenges, but actually here to fully play and discover what it means to be a child in wonder and in the essences that I discuss.
So your book talks about 12 guiding principles. Would you like to outline those and talk a little bit about each one?
Most definitely, I'm happy to. What I'd like to start off with is letting you know how I came to these guiding principles, because it was so apparent in my own life and the guidance that came through that many of us are creating the bondage that is in our lives, or the servitude, or many of us have fallen into this place of replication on the planet where we're creating Stepford humans. And we're just following the media or following another person or following a teacher or a guru. And this is a time where we have to understand that there are no teachers and gurus, that in fact, we are all masters walking. We are all here to lead and guide ourselves. And in doing so, we become the examples for other people. And that is what the planet is truly calling for now, is examples to stand up, to rise up, and to illustrate how to be in the many essences that are discussed in the book. There is a turning point that is happening inside of each one of us, and we all feel it to a certain extent. We call it stress. We sometimes call it fear, but it's that tightening of the skin where we can't quite get comfortable, or where there's a part of us that knows there's something bigger within us, but it just doesn't seem to know how to come out, or we're too afraid to let it out. And that is what I call the rebel spirit, the creative rebel. And that creative rebel understands that we each have a unique genius to experience and express, and that there really is no problem on the outside. that there really is no problem even on the inside, that when we dive fully into our hearts and our passions, that that will allow the inspiration to bubble up to solve all of the world's issues and heal all of the problems that we see as the illusion of the world. And as you move forward in the book, it then teaches or guides as to the essences that we have forgotten. As children come in as our teachers in the biggest way, because they truly know how to stay in the now. They truly know how to embody the essence of love and divine spirit. And simply in watching them and taking the essences that they present, we step back into not only the creative rebel, but we step back into a place of presence where we really do allow in our lives that sense of wonder and curiosity and excitement and play that so many of us have forgotten because we've just gotten too serious in the world. So your journey to enlightenment, in my mind, is not something anyone outside of you can hand to you. It is not something that a guru is going to anoint you with. It is not some big, huge awakening or aha moment that's going to happen because the cosmos opens up for you. Your journey to enlightenment happens because you extend yourself the invitation. You provide the initiation. You allow the illumination to bubble up and birth from the inside out by diving deeply into your unknown self as opposed to the self that you have always known.
So how do people access this guidance that's coming from within?
The first thing that we have to realize is who we've been has taken us as far as we can go. And we've gotten so locked in our personalities and our egos and our identities. And so we operate from those filters on a day-to-day life, but that is why life feels limited. What our soul is asking, what the time on the planet is now asking of us, is for us to say, what is the experience that I would choose to have now? And it's asking us to also look at our world and see what's showing up in terms of the signs and symbols and communications. In my book, Conversations with the Universe, I talk about five questions that I used, five very, very simple questions that I used to help me move out of the places of distortion and dysfunction and lack that were in my life. And the very first of those questions is, where is that in me? And I applied that to not only the people that showed up so that I could discover if I judged someone in front of me and that was angry, and or I judged someone in front of me that was powerful, or I judged child in front of me that was innocent, that I could find that anger or that power or that innocence inside of me. But I did that with everything from issues that happened with my car to things that happened in my home to things that would just pop up on the television, such as an attack on someone or terrorism. And I started to look at it and say, well, if that's showing up in front of me, then it must be within me somewhere. It has to be in my consciousness because there's no way for it to project outward if it is not inward. There is nothing here. There is no one else here. There is only you. And you are the projector. And the screen of the world is what is illustrating what you are projecting. And so by doing that, I started to find out, gosh, this terrorist act, how do I do that to myself or someone else? And I started to recognize how sometimes I would speak to myself, or sometimes I would look at my body or criticize or different things like that. And as we discover how we treat ourselves and how we do those very same things that we judge, we start to clean and clear them. And then the next question is, what is the gift inside of me that this is trying to reveal that has been dormant? And it will then bubble up some sort of gift or some sort of action or expression that we've never tapped into, and we start to change. And so as we start to recognize that everything in the world is not just pieces in the world, but that the world is actually us, showing us us to reveal more of us, then we start to get to a place of more at-one-ment with it. And in doing so, we begin to develop a trust in life to take steps that we've not taken before. I discovered very early on, about 10 years ago, in the height of my dark night of the soul, I didn't trust life. I didn't trust the world. I did not trust God. I didn't trust myself, most of all. And so by having these conversations with the universe constantly show up, and they show up for each and every one of us. I am not any more special than anyone else. and I am just as special as everyone else. So these conversations, these signs and symbols show up in all kinds of ways and for each one of us. And it is that constant tapping, that thing your eyes hit upon every so often that is the same thing. And in doing that, we start to discover, now I can take a new step. Now I can venture into something that I didn't know before. And it is in those steps of the unknown that we start to awaken the greater self that we are. And in awakening the greater self, we open to more of the divinity that we hold. And that is the key to ever-increasing enlightenment within us and without us.
Okay. Your book is divided into the 12 guiding principles. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? Those in that framework that you just outlined?
Yes, absolutely. As I go into assisting individuals in reclaiming and recognizing the divine child, the innocence, the place of play that is dormant within each one of us because of the seriousness that we've bought into in the world, I talk about 12 essences, things such as divine curiosity, divine wonder. And these are things that children naturally do. You know, when a child goes on a playground and they are naturally playing, they're very curious about everything that they see. And so they dive into that playground with full abandon and full excitement. And they are so immersed, if they are, let's say, on the merry-go-round, that they are just so immersed in that space and they revel in it and they're excited about it. And that becomes their entire world. And that illustrates, number one, a state of presence, but it illustrates also a state of trust that the world is shown up. And in those steps of each of the essences, I talk about some different playground equipment as if how that equates to life. So if we look at the merry-go-round, you know, life is this endless series of circles or spheres or a spiral so that we keep revisiting something again and again and again, but in a new way. But also, it helps us to understand that when we're on that merry-go-round, if all of a sudden a plane goes by in the air and that catches our attention and we take off and we act like we're a plane on the playground, or we decide all of a sudden, look, there's the slide, I want to go up and down the slide, that we are not picking up the merry-go-round and putting it on our backs and carrying it over to the slide like so many of us do, the baggage of the different experiences in our life. So many of us go through a relationship or a career or a tragedy, and rather than understanding it is a piece of playground equipment on earth that has chosen to take us around and back to an earlier experience that it has been a reincarnation of, we end up carrying that tragedy or that pain or that wound to the very next piece of playground equipment or the very next experience of life that we have. And so as we go into divine wonder or divine creativity or divine confidence or the many different essences that I discuss on the book, it allows you to see, number one, how to approach every experience in our life as a child, but also how to do what the child does in not staying attached to every single thing that we encounter.
Yeah, that is very important. Just if you're attached to the previous lesson, you're not present to learn lessons from the lesson you're in, or the play equipment you're on. You won't enjoy that because your mind and your attention is in the past. And plus, you interpret everything differently through those filters.
Exactly. It is that interpretation that ends up hindering the rest of our lives and creates the distortion or the thing that we have termed as the veils. The veils are not outside of us. The veils actually rest within us. They rest in front of our eyeballs and in front of our power center, in front of our heart, because we have chosen to take these things and carry them with us rather than letting them go. If you look at a three-year-old, if I look at my child, he will be in a full-out tantrum sometimes, and he is so immersed in that tantrum. He is actually in the pure ecstasy of the emotion of that tantrum, and it is ecstasy. And then all of a sudden, he will see something, and then start giggling uncontrollably. And it is a split-second change that he is then immersed completely in the giggles. And in that, he's in full ecstasy. And that's another part that we have forgotten as adults. We, instead of, number one, feeling our emotions, especially the dense ones like the tantrum or the anger or the grief, we don't want it. We push it away. We push it down, and so it stays buried within us. It clogs us. It becomes dense, and we carry it through life, and it keeps creating these reincarnations of other experiences. And because of that, we can't move into the full ecstasy of the good emotions either. The child shows us, you're just here to feel it. You're just here to feel it and let it pass through and be present to it, and then the next thing is going to come, and then you be present to that. The fact of the matter is, you are not on a journey. You are the journey. You are not in the world. You are every piece and part of the world and its expression back to you as you. You are not a human being. This is simply a spacesuit that we wear, and it's got all kinds of gadgets that give us signals and signs to tell us where we're going. And I don't even believe that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, because to me, that means that when we die or pass, we actually are just as separate from one another as we are here. And that doesn't make logical sense to me. So if that's the case, then we go beyond that, then what exists? It means that there's a major, beautiful mass that existed first, and that mass has individuated into form. And those individuations of form would simply be what the mass itself wants to know. And so that would be experience. So we are experience experiencing itself. And when we remember that, then all of a sudden, if we're in the height of grief because someone has left us, then we can just experience it and know it's an experience. Or if we are in the elation of some wonderful gift or award or acclamation that has been given to us, then we can be immersed in that and just know that it is an experience that is to come and is to go. And that is what is going to allow us to move forward as whole human beings, not the drudging way that we carry everything with us.
So many people have been kind of immersed in the role of being the victim, and their filters just interpret everything as them being victims. How would you suggest that they reframe everything to move out of that space?
That's why I think had those questions that I followed. I can see a part of my life where I definitely could see myself as the victim. You know, why was my marriage not working? Why did the people in my workplace treat me this way? Why was the world not safe? Why, you know, was everything always happening to me? I have all those same thoughts that people had, and it got to the point where I sat down with myself and I said, okay, if this is happening in my relationship and this is happening in my career and this is happening in almost every place in my life, what is the common denominator? And that was me. So the thing that had to change was nothing on the outside, no one on the outside. The thing that had to change or be looked at was me. And so I started to say, well, if everything out there was really there to help me, what if the world really is good? What if all of it's good, especially the things that I would term as obstacles or challenges or tragedy? What if even in those there's a gift that is trying to take me to a higher place? What if life actually is conspiring for our good all of the time? Then if I just looked at life as nothing but mirrors, everything from the most mundane, subtle thing to the grandest of experiences, all mirrors of me, and ask those questions, where is that in me? What is that trying to show me about me? What is the gift inside of me that has been dormant that this is trying to awaken, and so on and so forth? Then all of a sudden, I'm going to discover that I created this entire beautiful play, that I am actually the director, the actor, the set, the stage, the audience, and everything in it. And so how possibly could I be the victim if I was actually the creator of it? What if I am actually a God walking. What if we are all God's walking, individuations of the divine presence? There's no possibility to be a victim if you are God walking. And that means then you have to take accountability and responsibility for your own experience and what you choose to create now.
I was in a difficult situation when I was in the military. I had a Iranian general surgeon boss who didn't like women, and he made it clear he didn't like me. But I just would, every time I would have a negative feeling about him, I would stop and I would send him love, no matter what, even if I had to pull off the road. And pretty soon, he was completely different with any time he spoke about me, any time he completely changed the way he thought about me. And all I had done is send him love.
And see, that's how powerful it is. That's what we don't realize our connection is to the rest of the world. We think we are these single beings that are moving around in this random place where experiences are shot out at us like bullets are shot out of a gun. And that's not the case. Nothing is random. There are actually no coincidences. There are actually no synchronicities. It is all the matching up of vibrations that we are present to in that moment. What you did by giving that general love, in your mind, consciously, you were sending him love. But what your soul and spirit knew as truth that you unconsciously were doing was actually loving yourself enough to get to a place where you did not feel the animosity that he was feeling. That is what actually shifted him. Because there's no one outside of us. There is only us. And everything that shows up in front of us is really trying to reveal some hidden part within us that we feel about ourselves. You bring up a very strong point about women. You know, we are moving into a place of the divine feminine emerging. And the divine feminine exists both in men and women. But it is women that are going to bring it forward because we are the womb space. We are the birthing space of all creation. Nothing can exist without woman. And so when we think about that, and we think about the men on the planet, and we think about war, and we think about how numb so many men are, how they shut down, what we as women have to understand is we birth them. And we rear them. So what is the wounding in place for us women? How do we feel about ourselves as women to create men like that, to create experiences like that? And what it boils down to is we have not been taught how to love ourselves, or we have not been able to recognize the power of ourselves because we have taken on these imprints generationally from all of the lineages to the point that we don't even realize that that's what we're carrying inside. All of the pain of women past, all of the belief systems and disempowerment of women past. And as we move forward and we love ourselves more, even by the act that you just spoke about, that simple act of sending love to another, honoring oneself enough to send love to another because you know you're actually loving yourself in that process, is how we shift and change the world.
Well, it changed that dynamic in kind of a miraculous way. It was very interesting. What other things about enlightenment do you share in your book?
I think that one of the greatest places that we have to go is looking at our commitment to any and everything, whether it is relationships, our careers, our desire to love ourselves, our families, whatever that is, what does that commitment look like? And what I discovered in many places of my life, especially the places that were not working, they were not working because I was half-hearted in my commitment. I had one leg in and one leg out. I never had fully jumped in relationship because I kept thinking something else is going to be better, something else is going to work out, something else has got to be fixed. All of those types of things. And a lot of us live our lives that way. We live our lives half-hearted, and then we wonder why it's not working out. We wonder why there's conflict. We wonder why we're not happy. But if we truly committed to whatever it is that we desire to do, whether it is that relationship with that partner or that career or that time with our child, then all of a sudden you're going to see that nothing but success can happen. Nothing but the wealth of the experience can unfold. And so that's why this book is talking about the guiding principles towards love, courage, and commitment. Commitment is a key piece there. Courage is actually not the opposite of fear. A lot of people think that if you are not fearful, then you are courageous. Courage is actually the opposite of conformity. Too many of us have conformed to society's rules or to a cultural norm based on where we grew up, or we've conformed to the way that our families have said that things have to be done or life has to be lived, or we've conformed to the healthcare system, the government system, the economic system. We've just allowed ourselves to fall into place almost brainwashed, almost blindfolded into everything that life has, rather than questioning anything. And when we get to the place of courage, we say, I am going to follow the guidance of my own heart and soul and spirit, following the signs and symbols that really lead me on my path, to know that by my stepping out of conformity, I'm stepping into courage and I'm stepping into creating and being the change that will ripple out. And this does not mean the rebel that is fighting everything, because that's not what the rebel does. That's a revolutionary. The rebel says, I'm not here to fight you. I'm here to be who I am and stand in that unique genius. And we all have that unique genius. The love that is necessary for enlightenment is that degree of love to stand in that genius, to stand in that uniqueness, to stand in that courage and commitment to say, I now will no longer accept any excuse to not live my dreams, to not stand in my power, to not be who I desire to see myself as. I love myself enough, despite any excuse that would show up outside of me. And that's a lot of the reason that I embarked on the Rebel Road, which is a 66-city show tour. It's a one-woman show that I put on. And it speaks fully to that, because everything I have done this year is completely opposite of anyone or anything I've ever been before in my life.
So is the Rebel Road still touring?
It is. It began in September of 2013, and it goes through June of 2014. I was guided last year to, after an 18-year arranged marriage, I divorced. And I was guided to get on an RV with my two kids to allow life to support me and have things just show up, to have an RV show up, to have everything that I needed support-wise to show up, and to go out to places that were going to invite me. I was not to plan them. I was not to contact them. They were going to be contacting me. And to put on a one-woman show, singing, doing humor and storytelling, three things I'd never done before in my life. In fact, I have been a hermit, extremely shy, extremely introverted, have hardly left my home the first 44 years of my life. So this was truly diving into the unknown, because all of this was new. And I can honestly say I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And I can honestly say I still have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. And it has been the most profound, beautiful, heartwarming experience that has not only touched me to the core, but has touched many, many lives in the 48 events that we have already experienced thus far.
Right. Do you have a website that you'd like to give so people can get in touch with you and see your schedule and that type of thing?
Absolutely. The Rebel Road is available at therebelroad.com. That's therebelroad.com. I do give away to humanity the 1111 magazine, and that's freely given, along with my own podcast of 1111 Talk Radio. And you can go to simran-singh.com. That's simran-singh.com for both of those. And you can also access my books, Conversations with the Universe and Your Journey to Enlightenment, there, to support you as well as anything.
Great. So what else helps one get in touch with the guidance? I think you mentioned breathing in your book. Do you have? Can you talk more about that and then other ways to? Because I think a lot of people would like to assess the guidance that you talk about, but they don't quite know how to do it.
Well, I think we've made it far more mystical than it really is. We are constantly getting our signs and symbols. The conversations with the universe are around each and every one of us all of the time. We just simply have not become aware. So the first thing I tell people to do is just be aware of the things that you kind of see as a repetitive pattern. It will be a certain number or certain words. It might be a particular insect or a certain color. But there is something that kind of taps at you every now and then that is the same thing again and again and again. And once you have tapped into what that is, then notice when you see it the next time, just stop for that moment and take a breath and go inside and discover what is the very thing that you're thinking about in that moment. And I would venture to guess that what you're thinking about and feeling in that moment that you see that sign or that symbol is something that your heart wants you to do, something that's probably completely opposite of your life, something that is probably not logical, not practical, and would be a stretch. And the sign and the symbol is actually showing up for you because the universe is trying to say to you, we've got your back. If you will simply just take the step that you're getting the prompt for right now, please understand we've got your back and we will open the next door and we will send the next communication. You see, a conversation requires two. And the problem that we've had is the universe has been sending the signs and symbols, coincidences and synchronicities. But we kind of look at those things and go, oh, well, there's a sign. Isn't that neat? Or then we see it again and we go, what a coincidence. I just saw that the other day. How interesting. And we still go on with our lives. And then it shows up repeatedly. And then it's like, this is the neatest synchronicity. I've seen this so many times. I have no idea what it means, but I love when synchronicity happens. And then we still go on with our lives. Mm-hmm. But we never stop to think it's actually a communication. That communication is asking us to then take a step, to give a bit of communication back. And it can be a tiny baby step. It can be a giant leap. It can be a spoken word out loud. But some type of communication has to be back. That is the only way it is a conversation. And when you do that, what you're going to discover is more signs will start showing up, doors will start opening, opportunities will begin happening, you will begin meeting people that will lead you to that very thing that has been tapping away at your heart and your gut. We did not come here to planet Earth to live mundane lives. We came here because we desire to experience our greatness. And because so many of us are sitting on our greatness, are sitting in our stuckness, are not allowing ourselves to fully have what sets our hearts on fire, we are not living that, and we're not feeling our bliss. And we are walking around as the walking dead, numbed out, not happy, wondering when the time's going to pass or when it's all going to end. And instead, if we simply followed the prompts and leapt into the courageous change, then all of a sudden we would discover an aliveness that is inside of us that we've never known before. We are made in the image and likeness of our Creator. And our Creator is not some big man gray-bearded in the sky, and it's not a woman sitting up there either. Our Creator is creation itself. So we are the sons and daughters of creation, and that means we have full creative capacity, and we are meant to change in every moment, and we are meant to create on a constant basis. And when we discover that we are that power of creation and experience in each and every moment, then those steps of change get easier and easier and easier, and they awaken and aliven us in numerous ways that really are the essence of enlightenment.
I watched a number of biographies and discovered that a lot of famous actors and actresses were very introverted and shy and afraid of public appearances. And that was interesting to me, that, you know, they, I guess, accepted those synchronicities and then were guided along a path where they became very famous to counteract those feelings of isolation and shyness?
You know, what keeps us stuck is our comfort level. And we tend mm-hmm. to stay in what feels comfortable and what feels safe. And so, you know, for many of those people that became those celebrities, had they stayed introverted and shy, they never would have had the lives that they've come to have. And the same goes true for us. We tend to stay in what feels safe and comfortable. I was on the phone this morning with a woman that has been an accountant and has been a manager and has always been in that administrative position. And she said she could do it with her eyes closed, and it feels comfortable and it feels safe. And she just mm-hmm. can't see herself stepping out of it because that would just be too hard. And it's not that it's too hard. It's unknown. But the thing is, our unknown self, our greater divine self, actually rests outside of us. You can't keep spirit in a bottle. And that's what we're each trying to do. We're trying to keep spirit in the bottle of the physicality. We're trying to bottle it up within the limitation of what the mind can think, of what the hands can do, of what the heart has been allowed to believe, rather than uncapping the bottle and saying, let life connect with me, let all that is me connect with me, and let my spirit flow outward and discover what else is possible. So we have to move beyond what is safe and comfortable if we truly want to live the lives of our dreams.
I take care of a large number of women who have who are very ill from breast implants. Some have biotoxicity from mold, especially in saline implants, and others have chemical toxicity from the chemicals leaking out prematurely, or, you know, eventually they all leak out, so eventually people will get sick if their implants are old enough. And they, of course, the doctors and the implant companies and the FDA tell them that if they're sick, it's not from their implants. So they lead them in the wrong direction. That's, you know, traditional medical views and the, you know, the companies saying there's no problems, when in actuality it is that problem. But I find it interesting that most of the people that get to me have they wake up at 3 a.m. and they're guided often to their smartphone now, because, you know, your smartphone can get you out into the world, and they Google a couple of words and they find my videos or they find my book, The Naked Truth About Breast Implants. And then they're in a hopeless, helpless situation. Nobody, they've been to 50 doctors, all the doctors don't know what's going on, but they, through their own guidance, find out the answer to their problems. And then they come here, and we do the surgery, and we treat them with antifungals, and we detox them, and we give them their lives back. So that's an example of how, especially now with the Internet, you really can find guidance. You can find your way out of deep, dark holes.
Well, and look at the magic that happens, because, number one, being woken up at 3:34 in the morning, that is the most highly spiritual time that there is. And so we are woken up when we're most deeply connected to Source.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
in that
true.
Moment, we are so deeply connected to Source that we are led to the Internet or some book or something that is to be the answer. Well, the
right.
Internet might as well be the Ethernet at that particular moment, because that's where we're going into the ethers. And
right.
so when that site pops up, that's a conversation with the universe. There's nothing random. They're being led to exactly what they need because they're at that heightened vibration at that time to get the answer they're seeking. And then they have to follow through with that response. If we want
right.
to go deeper into what these conversations mean, you know, anything to do with the breast has to do with the heart. It has to do with the heart chakra. It has to do with self-love.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with passion. It has to do with following our creativity. And so if we're creating anything that's toxicity that's happening there, on one hand, we're creating the issue because we're not following our hearts. So on a very subtle level, everything, especially the physical, has a spiritual cause, spiritual component. And that is that spiritual component also has an emotional effect, and that emotional effect creates the physical issue. And so when we have those things happen, it's so easy to say, I'm the victim of this and I've got to fix it. If we're willing to go deeper and say, if this is an experience that I'm to have, then what is the experience trying to teach me about me? What is it trying to take me into deeper within myself? And then what is the gift that it's trying to have me do so that I go do something different than what I've done before? And that's the beauty. And I applaud you for the work that you're doing with them. And that your presence in the world and your power and your voice and in your passion has come out so that it can be that beacon of light for people that are looking for their conversation.
Well, I was actually guided in meditation. I was in the military, so it was free, to get Dow Corning silicone gel breast implants. And it was easy for me to get them because I was a plastic surgeon in the military and knew all the other plastic surgeons. So I got them, and I was okay for about 8 years, and then I got ill. And, of course, I was kind of a medical intuitive myself, so I figured out what was making me ill because I had only one breast implant that leaked a lot of gel, so all the symptoms were on one side. And then I had all these other patients who were getting sick, too. But it was interesting. I followed my guidance to get Dow Corning, and that was a good guidance to follow because I actually got $25,000 of the settlement, whereas if I'd gotten any other brand, it would have been under $3,000. So that's the importance of following the guidance exactly, you know, not to substitute a different kind of implant. And then it shows you, though, that when a problem's going to arise in consciousness, like the toxic components of the implant and the mold, then a solution is also going to arise. So I was a solution. I was told to get the implants. I got sick right at the right time when other women were getting sick. And then I was able to discover how to get out of it so that I could help other people. But, you know, it's almost like if you look at the whole thing, whenever there's a problem, consciousness will also create a solution. But a lot of times the solution, you get to that through your intuitive guidance. You don't get to it through reading the newspapers or the popular magazines. You get to it through your guidance, and that's what's important for people to understand. So if they've got fibromyalgia, if they've got chronic fatigue, if they've got any of these diseases that medical science, you know, doesn't understand, it's often due to biotoxicity from mold. It's often due to chemical toxicity, not just breast implants, but other chemical toxicities we've been exposed to. So you have to get your immune system back. You have to maybe take immune supplements and do things to detoxify and to protect your environment from mold and, you know, eat organic. And so you have to educate yourself, and you have to go out and actually follow your guidance so that you can understand how you get your health back. Don't just go to a doctor and leave it in their hands. Sometimes that doesn't work.
Well, I definitely know that our power is in our pain. And so when we go through an experience, then it is painful, or it is a dis-ease, or it is tragic. It is because there is something really rich in that experience that we can then take and place out into the world in a way of service, in a way of love, which is ultimately why we're all here. We all want to serve. We all want to love. We all want to alleviate the pain of others. And so these experiences, even though they don't always feel good in the moment, they end up leading us to lives of fulfillment and richness if we allow ourselves to go through the experience and understand it's not just on one level. When we're being asked, like you were speaking about healing and the different steps to take and the supplements and all the different things that you do, when we do that, we have to understand that it's not just on the physical level. That is, you're doing the things that you need for the physical body. Are you also doing it for the emotional body? Are you also doing it for the spiritual body? Are you also doing it for the mental body? If you really approach all of our care, whether it is medical, from a holistic point of view, then all of a sudden you are healing all of your different levels at the same time. And then you don't have these situations reoccur. When we only heal it on one level, we open ourselves to having a reincarnation of that experience or that relationship in another place at another time. And so it's beautiful how these different things that appear to be obstacles are actually the gifts. And I can give an example. When I got downloaded with the first issue of 1111 magazine and was told to create it, I had seen every word and every picture and everything in the first issue, and I just went downstairs and started typing away everything that I saw in my head. And when I finished, I didn't know how to create the graphics because I really was not very computer literate. And so I looked up in the sky like we do, and I said, okay, God, if you really want this Life Enhancement magazine out there for the world, you're going to have to bring me a graphic designer because I don't know one and I'm not going to go out looking for her. And that night my computer crashed, and it appeared that I lost everything. And so when a computer guy came the next day, after a few hours, he told me, you're going to have to get another computer. This one's shot. And so I was about to pay him, and he said, wait a minute, I think there's one document that might still be intact. And he retrieved it, and it happened to be the 1111 document for the first issue. And I explained to him what it was, and he said, really? He said, you know, I have a friend who's going through a terrible time right now, and this would so help her. If you need a great graphic designer, she's amazing. So this just goes to show you the magical way that the universe actually creates and plays with us to bring us what we need. But our human mind, our ego mind, say, oh, my gosh, how could this have happened? I've just spent a month typing this up, and now my computer's crashed, and I don't know why the world works this way. I don't know why life works this way. And
victim.
We send ourselves off into a negative spin instead of seeing the gift in it and what it could really be.
That's true. That's very true. And also, in terms of spiritual medicine, when we have things out of balance in the higher things like our emotional body and our mental body, we actually eventually will create physical disease out of that through the downward causation principles. This actually comes out of Barbara Brennan's book, but she says that if you think you're better than everybody in the mental plane, that thought is not exactly in balance. So in the emotional plane, you go back and forth. You think you're better than others, then you think you're worse than others. You go back and forth, back and forth. But in the physical realm, it depletes energy in the solar plexus so that you're more likely to have ulcer disease or stomach problems. And so it hits you in the solar plexus, which is your point of power. And that's correct because when you think you're better than everybody, you have a power issue out of balance.
And it is all about balance. And that's why when I really find that first question that I was given that I write about in Conversations with the Universe to be so incredibly healing, because in that place where you ask, where is that in me, what you are saying is I'm equal to that which I see. And because I'm equal to that which I see, I can find it in myself. So it actually brings about compassion. It brings about love. It brings about a balance of the outer world and the inner world. And that's exactly what you've written about, that the amazing work of Barbara Brennan talks about as well. You know, we are here to find our oneness. We are here to find and bring everything into balance and reconciliation. And so there is no hierarchy. There is no reason for competition. There is no reason to one-up another. There is only love. And I tell people, we are in love all of the time. We are of love all of the time. We are with love all of the time because this is simply a field. It is a being. It is not a doing. We are here to be as love. And when that happens, we will find that place of union, communion, and oneness that our soul has come here truly seeking.
That's true. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information? And then I believe you have a oneness experience of love, courage, and commitment that you could take us through.
I would love to share that people are invited to download many of my free videos and audios and the 1111 magazine at simran-singh.com. That's simran-singh.com. My two books are Conversations with the Universe and Your Journey to Enlightenment, and those are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or at simransbooks.com. And if you'd like to attend a show, you can go to therebelroad.com and see all of the cities in the mid to west coast that we are still yet to go visit, and I invite you to come. And so, yes, I would love to have everyone do that. And would you like me to go ahead with a closing out meditation now?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'd like everyone to take a deep breath. Allow yourself to get as comfortable as possible, whether you are sitting, laying down, or standing. Take a deep breath in. Allow that to course through you, in through your nose, up through the top of your head, down completely through your body, through your feet, and exhale. In this next breath, I want you to inhale, noticing that there is a spark inside the center of your heart, an ember that is glowing. With each inhale and exhale, allow that ember to expand and to brighten, to become a white or violet light. And with each inhale and exhale, notice that the ember creates a vertical line of light right on the front of your spine. Breathe into that line of light, allowing it to extend high into the heavens to your place of origin. Allow it to extend down deeply into the earth, rooting at the core. With each inhale and exhale, allow that line of light to expand, to encompass your body, to expand into the room. If you feel so, allow it to expand into your city, your state, your country. With each inhale and exhale, inhale in love. Hold the breath of love. Exhale with love. Hold the space as love. Inhale in love. Hold the breath of love. Exhale with love. Hold the space as love. Inhale in the love that you are. Hold the breath of the love that you are. Exhale with the love that you are. Hold the space as the love that you are. Inhale in the love that you are. Hold the breath of the love that you are. Exhale with the love that you are. Hold the space as the love that you are. Inhale the line of light that is all of creation. Hold the breath of creation, allowing it to swirl within you to create any and all things that would have you be in your experience. Exhale that light outwardly into creation, that you set it into energetic form, and hold the space of that light, that it may result in physical expression. Inhale in love. Hold the breath of love. Exhale with love. Hold the space as love. You're not on a journey. You are the journey. You are not in the world. You are every piece and part of the world, your home, your car, your pets, your children, your workspaces, your friends, your family, any and all things that surround you appear in front of you to show you you. You are experience, experiencing itself in love, of love, with love, and as love. Namaste.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure being with you and your listeners.
Thanks a lot. We've been interviewing Saram Singh, her book, Your Journey to Enlightenment, 12 Guiding Principles to Connect with Love, Courage, and Commitment in the New Dawn. Join us next week with Temple of Health Radio Show, Edward Mikowski, Return of the Golden Age, Ancient History to Our Collective Future. We have the Philippine psychic surgeon, Gregorio, here next week and as well. You can call the office for information about that. And then Susan Martinez, The Mysterious Origins of Hybrid Man, is on the 22nd. We have Noetic Science on the 20th of February, which is Thursday. Tricia McKinnon will be speaking, Discovering Your Life Purpose, Astrology, and Working with the Archetypes. Again, thanks so much for joining us with Temple of Health Radio Show, and join us next week.